It's a scandal that doesn't seem to stop growing. The fallout continues growing for the New York Police Department. Reports this week that the NYPD launched a massive surveillance program that targeted Muslims. Now, we heard about that in the city of New York, but it turns out this program actually spread throughout the Northeast, far outside the city limits of NYC. That story was broken earlier this week by the Associated Press. They reported that the NYPD has kept a close watch on Muslim student groups, including tracking their websites and blogs, monitoring speakers at events, and even sending an undercover officer on a whitewater rafting trip that was attended by Muslim students. We spoke with one of those students that went on that trip and, in fact, gave a ride unknowingly to the NYPD officer that was spying on him. You can listen back to that interview at our website, thetakeaway.org. The monitoring program is part of a larger effort by the police department since September 11th to seek out terrorist cells in the New York City area. The NYPD has defended the program and the mayor of New York as well, saying that at least 12 people have been arrested or convicted of terrorism charges in recent years because of this monitoring program. But yesterday, Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey requested a federal investigation into the NYPD's activities in Newark and at Rutgers University campus sites. Joining us now, Bob Henley, senior reporter for our flagship station, WNYC. Bob, can you kind of lay out the argument, how it's playing out between New Jersey and New York?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to talk about what gave rise to the NYPD's drive to create what is a national network and, to some degree, is a global one. It's important to keep in mind that the NYPD believes that the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993 to some degree came about because the FBI missed an opportunity to anticipate it and to prevent it from happening. And this has been an ongoing battle between the NYPD and the FBI. It's important to know that right now, I guess since 1980, the FBI and the NYPD have had something called the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which has now, post 9/11, been replicated to 100 different Joint Terrorism Task Force around the country. That is the official way that the government pursues, the federal government pursues intelligence gathering. And what's interesting about that method is that the detectives from the NYPD, while they're serving with the JTTF, are deputized to U.S. Marshals, which means they can operate anywhere in the United States. What's at odds here is this tension between the NYPD's independent intelligence efforts and counterterrorism efforts, which involve some 1,000 police officers, and the federal model. And there has been a growing kind of rift, if you will, after some significant coordination. It seems that their approaches are creating conflict.
We're speaking with Bob Henley, senior reporter for our co-producer WNYC. So, again, let's go back to this outcry from Cory Booker, who's the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, and now Senator Bob Menendez calling foul. They say they had no idea this was going on. The NYPD says they have evidence that they were fully aware of what was going on.
It's very important to go back and look at the specific characters. Intelligence and police work is somewhat tribal. In point of fact, at that time, the leader of the Newark Police Department was Gary McCarthy, who had made his career at the New York City Police Department.
He's now in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. And he has, at least in the Wall Street Journal this morning, let it be known through a spokesperson that he was advised of it. Yesterday, Paul Brown convened reporters along
with
the top
spokesman for the NYPD.
Along with the top legal leadership of both the city's Corporation Council on this matter and the NYPD internal legal eagles, if you will. And basically, he said Newark, the police department, was brought in the loop before, during, and after. In fact, throughout the time that they were in Newark, they were accompanied by a Newark detective who was detailed with that unit. It did result in the generation of a 60-page report that had a lot of detail, although no alleged criminal activity, and that's important. We should get into that. But it did chronicle Islamic centers and mosques, as well as commercial establishments frequented by the Muslim community in Newark.
Does this kind of signal the way that the NYPD has changed? I mean, is this showing us the way in which the NYPD is much more than just a city police force?
Well, I think it's important, Frank Donner's seminal book, Protectors of Privilege, Red Squads, and Police Repression in Urban America in 1990, really laid out that police intelligence gathering at the municipal level is nothing new since the Haymarket bombing in Chicago in 1896. It's important to know historically that New York City has had in 1906 an anarchist squad, then a bomb squad, then a red squad. In fact, this culminated in the 1960s with political dissidents, actually, you know, people who were activists in the peace movement, Black Panthers, bringing a legal action against the New York City Police Department, which resulted in a consent decree called the Handshoe Settlement, which was named for one of the plaintiffs, because it was disclosed that the NYPD had a very aggressive intelligence program that targeted these individuals who were involved with political dissent. And as a result, the NYPD since 1985 have been under the tight strictures of this consent decree that really laid out when and where they could get involved with sensitive intelligence investigations that had political overtones. However, after 9/11, and this is important to remember, that was modified and the department's guidelines were loosened.
So do you see the NYPD continuing to move outside its own city limits and using what they now see as their expertise in fighting homegrown terrorism in other areas?
Well, the question about fighting terrorism is crucial. Are you talking about a police action where you used a gun or when you make an arrest, or are you talking about intelligence gathering? And, of course, the NYPD maintains that just the passive act of gathering intelligence in of itself is not a violation of the Constitution. They say the critical thing is, do they use that information in a sinister way, as we saw with the FBI with COINTELPRO, where you begin to use it as a way to discredit a subject of surveillance with their employer or to create discord in their domestic life. They say that all they're doing is just looking at open source documents and doing something that's entirely protected by the Constitution. Now, of course, civil libertarians and even the people that were involved with bringing the initial Handshoe action are back in federal court because they think that the AP reports show the NYPD has stepped beyond the guidelines that they committed to.
Which, going on a whitewater rafting trip with a student group seems to be at least, if not over, close to that line. Bob Henley is senior reporter for our co-producer, WNYC. Thanks as always, Bob.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.